Welcome to the Journey of You, Reflections on Faith, Identity, and Becoming. I'm your host, Tonya D. Bennis. This is a space to slow down, breathe deep, and tell the truth about where you've been, where you are, and who you're becoming. Here, your story is honored, but it does not define you. It becomes your testimony. Wherever you're listening from, you're invited to settle in. You don't have to rush this journey. You don't have to walk it alone.
Good morning, Journey of You family. Welcome, welcome. Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome to the new year. I'm very excited because I know a lot of times we talk about physical things that we're going to do or all these goals that we have set. But what's most important is your spiritual foundation. And so today, to help us walk through that, I have Pastor Roe and Pastor Sue of Deeper Church in Dallas, Georgia. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Of course. Of course. So really want to dig in today on just how to start the year with that strong spiritual foundation, really with reconnecting with faith and purpose. And so I have a few questions, but of course, the Holy Spirit always takes over. So let him lead you how he chooses. But starting off, what practical steps can women of faith take to deepen their connection with God at the start of the year?
Well, since I'm a woman, I'll answer that.
Yes, I'm gonna be polite, ladies first.
I mean, you can answer that too, but I think, you know, we can begin to incorporate those daily routines of getting in the Word. So, for example, a daily devotional could help you getting into the Word more, and it should include prayer. You know, writing down what you're hearing from God as you're praying or as you're reading the Word. Make sure you're reading the scripture, not just you know, what someone else has written, but you want to go to the Word, which is our foundation, so that you're not going away from the truth. So you want to be in that daily. I'd say set aside time for solitude because we're so busy all the time. So that's important, getting time alone with God. Because, you know, we can be practicing his presence by, you know, praying while we're doing things. But I do think that time is important, you know, practicing solitude and just time for meditation on his word. So not just reading it, but meditating on it. I'd say something practical is also joining a Bible study group. You know, like we have small groups at church. So that helps you and keeps you motivated, keeps you accountable to other people. If you're living in community, that also helps you to live a more spiritual life because we feed off each other. We help each other. Create a vision board. That's the practical thing. You know, God, yeah, create a vision board. I know you love that, Tonya. I'm speaking your language right now. You know, journal, a vision board, journal what God is saying to you. And so that you're projecting towards something. You're not just living, not knowing where you're going, but you actually have goals. And these are not just goals, but visions that God is giving you for your life. You know, that you can write down, and then engage in acts of service, you know, volunteer, do things that will help others, be on mission. That will help to keep you grounded and living in purpose.
I love that. Yeah. I don't even know now. No, just to add to it, the only thing I would add to it, I think everything starts with a decision.
That's so good. Yeah.
And so for me, it's make a decision and actually follow through on what you want to do. I think everything starts in the mind.
Yeah.
God has always given the one thing I think that God's given to every individual on planet Earth is choice, the ability to choose and to make a decision. And when I say make a decision, most times, especially when we talk about the start of the year and doing something new, we tend to make the decision at the start of the year and figure out, I'm good.
Yeah.
But for me, I think a decision has to be made every single day. You have to get up every single day and choose to do all of these things that Suzanne just listed out. You know, it's the decision to get up and go, hey, I'm going to do my devotion today.
Yeah.
And when she talked about even the devotional piece of it, I really want to even add to it and put emphasis on, people may not like hearing this, but I say
But I
it
kind of said
often,
it, yeah.
and Suzanne just kind of said it a minute ago, the idea of doing other people's devotion is not doing devotion.
Yeah.
In other words, to read devotionals, you're reading what somebody else spent time with God and received
Yeah.
for themselves, right? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the one who would be in us and would be with us
Yeah.
to the end of the earth, that he would be the one who teaches us in all things, would lead us and guide us into all truth. And so I think God really wants to speak to us for himself when we read his word,
Yeah.
right? And when we spend time in contemplation and in just solitude, just listening. As a part of our prayer. So the practical things that she shared, if we get up every single day and make a decision, hey, I'm going to do these things today. Because you can make a decision and wake up the next day and not feel like it,
It's true.
right?
It's true.
But it's not based on a feeling, not based on an emotion, but a decision and
Oh,
sticking
yeah.
with your decision. Like, I'm going to get
Absolutely.
up, no different from we get up every day. I'm deciding I'm going to show up at work tomorrow. I'm deciding I'm going to make breakfast and feed these kids. I'm deciding to cook dinner,
Yep.
right? And feed the family. Those are decisions that we make. And I think that's huge and really, really important. I think before we do anything else and before you
Starts
get to
with the
the practical
mind.
things, it begins in
With
the
the mind,
mind.
yeah.
And it's a decision we have to make over and over
Over
and over
every
again.
day, I agree.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like you said, it's that choice. And I know that Pastor Xu also mentioned the importance of community, because not only are we having to have that solitude and personal time with God, but also community. What role would you say community plays in maintaining that spiritual momentum throughout the year, not just at the beginning of the year?
Well, I mean, again, like I said, accountability, it provides you with support also. So you're not doing life alone, because when we get alone, that's when sometimes the enemy wants to speak to us and say, oh, nobody likes you. You're really lonely when you're not. You know, you're really alone when you're not. And I think also we're learning from someone else. You know, sometimes we think we have it all, but we really don't. When we get in community with others, we realize, man, we really need something else. There is so much that we don't know. So much to learn and explore. And I think being with others exposes us to a variety of information and things that we wouldn't think about in solitude. And even the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, because he recognizes how important it is. And from the beginning, he intended for us to never be alone, because it's not good for men to be alone. Right? So
We often use that scripture for
for
marriage,
marriage, but it's
but
really for
it really
humans.
is for humanity in
Yeah.
and of itself. But even to add to it, Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 talks about says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil.
Yep.
For if they fall, one will lift up the fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not
Absolutely.
another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a
Exactly.
man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Like,
Yeah.
legitimately, to live in isolation literally is to choose to die.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Isolation kills, but growth often happens in community. It's in community that people challenge us. Some of us don't like that. It's in community
Yeah.
that we're provoked to think differently, right? To think outside of the box, to see things outside of how you see things. When you're around other people, they provoke your ability to think, or they should anyway. The people that you're around, they provoke you to think on a deeper level. They should challenge you
It
to
challenges
think
you, yep.
beyond just the surface of beyond what we just naturally see with our eyes.
Yeah.
And to think deeper, right? Community is the place that we really get to know what's truly inside of us.
Yeah.
Yep. And I wanted to say, if you are going to serve, you should also live in community. If you're going to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, be of help or volunteer, you can't just get up and just go volunteer when you haven't made yourself a friend to your community. You know, so I think it's important, not because we want the accolade of saying, oh, I volunteer here, because some people might do it for that reason, but it really does show a good motive, or that God is working in you when you also live among the people you serve. And so I think that's why it's important also to be in community.
Okay, so you talk. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I think it's interesting. Most people tend to avoid community and they go, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
I prefer not to be around people. But I think it's such a you lose out on so much because you never know, you really don't know what's in you until you're around other people, right? They say love is blind, marriage is an eye opener, is the
Oh,
statement that they
absolutely.
make. It's in relationship, right? It's
Very
when you're in
accurate.
a relationship with another individual, with your kids, with your siblings,
That you
with your
learn.
parents, that you discover what's in you. Because there's a lot of times you go, I would never do that. But we can say it because the opportunity never presented itself. Right. And so it's when we're around people, that's where growth happens. It's in the classroom that growth happens. That's where we learn,
I
right?
know we've been on this subject for a while, but also it's not even just a spiritual thing. Naturally, it's a need for humans to be in community. And there's lots of studies done. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the series called Alone. I mean, they go into the woods and they have to fend for themselves for a number of days. It's a competition. But what we see is these people going crazy. I mean, literally like
The
going insane. Because of being alone, it's actually something that's needed. I mean, you hear about prisoners being put
in the
in the
box.
box, you know, how that plays on their minds. And so, I mean, there's so much to this, to being in community. That's a need. It's not even a want. Whether you're an introvert, extrovert, ambivert, it's a part of the balance.
Because
No
even
one should be alone.
babies need that too. Even babies need that,
Exactly, even babies.
that
You come
nurturing.
into this world, yeah, you come
Yeah.
into this world needing others. So anyone who says they don't need anybody, that's a lie. That's a fallacy.
Typically those are people who's been hurt by other people, and they tend to again want to close themselves off from or protect themselves as they think from being hurt. And so I get it, but no matter what we do, it's all like again choice, and it's chances that we take, right? So as much as we can close ourselves off, trying to protect ourselves from being hurt, we're also closing ourselves off from people that want to love us, right? People
Very
that
true.
want to pour into us, people that want to give into our lives. So as much as we're closed off, going, man, I'm protecting you, my heart, I'm guarding my heart, you're also closing yourself off from the things that I believe God would
That's for
love to
you.
give to you through people, as well. So
So, what
my
if you are
thoughts.
listening right now and you are closed off and you know that you need to open that door up so you can have that spiritual relationship with God and with others? How do you kind of break those walls down to be able to start healing or walking through that connection?
I think it takes just make it one, go back to the power of choice. It starts with a decision, right? It starts with a decision and even being honest with God about it. Hey, I've been hurt. I don't want to put my heart out there anymore to people, whatever it is. And even in prayer, I think God will begin to deal with our hearts, right? And I think, again, the minute you start to be open to that and realize that God, again, did not design us to do life alone, and we're willing to take those steps, I think it's also key to begin to pray and ask God to allow the right people to enter your life. Allow people you know can be trusted. And I'm not saying when you do meet them, you take things one step at a time. Be gradual, right? Like nobody gets into a relationship or get out on the first date or meet somebody and give them all your stuff. It kind of terrifies somebody and scare them off. For the most part. But again, you divulge information bit by bit slowly, right? And you again make sure you're connected in a relationship that's also reciprocal. So it's not you emptying out, but as well other people who are willing to show you their scars, who are willing to show you their hurts, who are also willing to go, hey, I've been down this road before, and here's how I navigated that. So I think it's a step by step. It's not a one shot. I always say everything begins with a decision of going, God, if this is what you want for me, then yes, I want that for my life. But not stopping there and going, hey, if this is what you want for my life, then I would love it if you allow people to connect in my life, people that will take me in the direction that would cause me to grow, that would challenge me, right? And would trust, again, push me to open up in some areas that I probably would not open up in, and be quiet about. So
I also want to add that yes, definitely begin with prayer and ask God for wisdom and discernment so that that will also help you in knowing what's the right community for you. And on a practical level, I mean, this we're in the information age. You do your research, you know, like if you're struggling with getting around people, I would say research that community that you're thinking about, you know, find out, you know, what their main theme of life is, you know? Does it match up with what God is doing in you, with God's purpose for you? Yeah. So, I mean, on a practical level, do your research. You know, you don't have to jump right in. You can take those small steps, you know? You could start with an individual, you know, if you don't want to be in a crowd. But yeah, get to know, get that information that will help you to get there. But don't just sit, you know, sit on your laurels thinking, well, I don't need anyone, because that's a fallacy. You need to get out there, and get to know someone, or get that information you need to help you to break down those walls, to begin to break down those walls.
Here's one more thing, I guess I'll add to it as she's talking, that came to
Yeah.
mind as well. I think it's wise not to clump everybody in the same box. If
Exactly.
there's one kid
Yeah,
you've been
that's a good
hurt by
point.
people, maybe you've gone to another church and you were hurt and it's caused you to close off. Maybe you've been in a relationship and it's hurt you and it's caused you to say, hey, I'm closing off and I'm giving up on relationships. And then, we got to remember that every person is not the same. And every season of life teaches a different thing. So I say, hey, take the lessons from the hurt, the things that cause you to be hurt. Right? Take the lessons, right? All of us are flawed, individual. None of us are perfect. There is no perfect church. And the saying is, hey, if it was perfect, the minute you and I set foot in it, it ceased to be that. Right? Because we're all flawed individuals. And so I think just to remember, hey, even we ourselves, we've hurt other people.
That's true. We're not perfect.
Right? And somebody else has to make a decision to open themselves up
To
because of
us,
hurt that
yes.
we've caused other people. And so it's the same thing of us. Like if we remember the fact that, hey, we've done other people wrong, and yet people have not walked away from us. Like people haven't given up on us. There's still people that's in our lives. Then I think we owe other people that much as well. Hey, to not disconnect completely from life and completely from other people, but also just open our hearts again. It's a chance that we take every single day. But again, doing so with wisdom, doing so. And when I say with wisdom, it doesn't mean make fleshly decisions. I'm saying it from the standpoint of, hey, just trust the Holy Spirit to lead you.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be one person in your life that God has put in your life that you can actually trust, you know,
At minimum.
at minimum. And so find that person, maybe go along with them to their community. You know, if you're afraid of going, you know, by yourself. So find that one person you can trust, and also seek counsel. You know, like, you know, if you have so much hurt, then you might need some counseling to help
Absolutely.
you break down those barriers.
Absolutely. Well, in that then, with trying to figure out, okay, who should I connect with? You know, where should I go to church, for example, or what community should I be a part of? What goals should I have on that vision board? Like, how can someone discern, like, whether their goals align with their God-given purpose, or if it's just like something they want to do? How do they get that alignment?
You want to say it, or you want me
I
to?
mean, again, I would say start with prayer. That's number one. That way God can give you wisdom and direction for what you might need to be doing in this season, because some things are seasonal, right? So you definitely want to pray and ask God to reveal his will for you, for your life. You also may want to reflect on your passions, you know, reflect on what it is that God has put in you, your talents, you know. What has God already given you that you can use for his kingdom? You know, he's given you something. We're not empty-handed. We're not blank slates. You know, he's built you from your foundation with something. So what is in your hands? So consider your passions, how these might serve others and God. How can these glorify God? And I'm going to go back to also seeking counsel. Again, not doing life alone. Seek counsel from trusted individuals, people that you know may be a good, so someone is really good in an area that you're seeking out, to grow in, you know, so you don't have to do it alone. I mean, you're a life coach, Tonya. You walk with people. You know how important it is for someone to get to have that help, someone who can take them on their journey. And so again, you don't have to do it alone. So seek counsel, get spiritual leaders in your life to pray with you, to help you, to encourage you, evaluate, you know, your goals against biblical principles, because we can have goals that go outside of God's word. And so if it ain't in the word, you want to check it. Okay. So ensure that it promotes the fruit of the spirit, whatever you're trying to do. It's love, joy, peace. You know, does it really live out the fruit of the spirit? So you want to make sure that you're also doing that. So pay attention to whether or not it aligns with the word of God. And make sure that you also are being like Christ, right? Remember, fulfilling purpose is being like Christ. So make sure that you are walking that out in whatever goals you set for yourself.
So here's mine.
I
Don't mean I like it.
mean, I like it. Okay, we'll see.
That you won't like it. I'm just saying I agree with the things that you shared
Yeah.
100%. I think, man, there are decisions that are just tough. So here's the one thing that I thought of when you asked that question is when you evaluate the things that you are doing or the things that you're laying out before you that you say, hey, I want to go after this year.
Yeah.
The one question I would say to ask is this: is it all about you?
Oh.
Like, is it selfish,
Yeah,
right?
I
Is
love
this
that.
about you making more money? Is this about you promoting you? Like, is this about you building you up, right? So you talked about, you used two words in there. Purpose, and then we talked about assignment. And so, as Suzanne mentioned, when we talk about purpose, it always goes back to, again, is this about God? Is God being glorified, right? Is
Good.
God being honored in all of this thing? So everything that's on that list, purpose, again, he's chosen us in Christ before the
Foundation
foundation of
of
the
the
world
world,
that we would be conformed to the
please.
image of his son. Like, he's called us to be
Like
like
Christ.
Christ. That's the
That's it.
entire sign. That's the entire purpose of every believer that's walked the face of this earth. God designed us to be just like Christ, right? That's what a disciple is. I'm trying not to run in that lane, but it's what he's called us to, right? It's to discipleship. And so, if everything on that list or that we've set out, right, that pertains to our purpose, if it's not glorifying to God, then that's an issue. If it's about the individual, in terms of, hey, making more money, or it's about simply, hey, I'm going to promote myself, or it's about
So
me
good.
getting a higher position at the company, or whatever it is, if it's simply about you, then you might want to evaluate that. Even as it pertains to our assignment, whatever our assignment is, should affect people that are around us, because again, it's in the act of the assignment that purpose should be being fulfilled. Right. So whatever my assignment is, right, whatever it is that I'm pursuing, while I'm pursuing it, God opens that door for me. So as an example, if it's, hey, my assignment is to be a teacher. Great. Right. You're sitting in a classroom or you're standing in a classroom, you're teaching these kids. Now your purpose, you can't teach the same way others or deal with the students the same way a person that's an unbeliever would deal with the student. You're now having to exercise, as Suzanne talked about, the fruit of the spirit. Now you're gonna have to be more patient. Now you're gonna have to be more kind. Right now, the purpose of God is now being fulfilled in you as an individual, as you're walking this thing out, as you're teaching math, as you're teaching English. When these students start talking to you and you want to rebuttal and respond in an outside of godly way, then purpose has to shine forth and purpose has to go, wait, is this glorifying to God? Right? Is this,
Okay.
again, benefiting even the person that's the recipient of it? Because again, at the end of the day, our assignment, a part of being a disciple, is reaching other folks, right? It is pouring into other people. And so at the end of the day, I'm gonna go back to it and say it again. If everything that's on our goal list, right, for 2025, or even later on in the year, or at any point in time, if anything we set as a goal, right, if it's about us and us benefiting alone, let me say it solely, there's an issue. I do believe, again, in doing, walking truly in purpose and accomplishing the assignment that God gives to us will produce reward, right? The text, I think it's in Luke 18, where he talks about the fact that, hey, no one who forsakes all of these things, father, mother, house, land, he says, who will not receive in this life a reward, meaning that there are things that we reap when we're walking in purpose and fulfilling our assignment. And then he says, in the world to come, eternal life. So the goal is not even the eternal life, that's just a byproduct. if we continue again to walk in purpose and complete the assignment that God's placed in our hands and entrusted us to do, and in our assignment, we're fulfilling our purpose, then I 100% believe again that there are things, the promotion will come, right? The money will come. The things that we're seeking, the positions, right? The success, right? I believe those things will come. But the beauty about purpose is, even if those things don't come, it doesn't affect you anyway, because you know I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm walking in the assignment that's affecting other people, that's pouring into other people. And at the end of the day, God is being glorified from it. God is being pleased.
I right? love so, it. I love it. So with that, then, I would love for you both to share a personal story of, like, maybe you were on assignment here, but now your assignment has changed. How did that spiritual reset transform your life, and how did you handle that?
Ooh, that's
the loaded one.
Yeah.
You really know where you want me to go?
I'll let you start.
Well, the one, what comes to mind for us is, I think the biggest one I would say for us, and it's happened a few times, I think, in our lives, but I think making the transition. So we, again, grew up in New York City.
Yeah.
Born in Jamaica. Left at a pretty young age. I was 11. She was 13.
I was 14.
No, she was 14. Migrated to the United States. And so we grew up in the Bronx in New York. So I was there 23 years, 23, almost 24 years of my life. I just committed to a ministry, serving in multiple capacities. She was there, I think, 20 years. Maybe 20 years or so that she was there. Again, serving in different churches, functioning. And so our life was church. Literally, we were in church almost
all about church.
7 days a week. Like, no exaggeration. We were in church because we were involved in so much and doing ministry. We got married, started to have kids. And man, we were doing that. So not much shifted, at least not for me. I kept running in the same lane as much as there were things added to our plate of having kids, right? But I kept 7 days a week, as it were. I'm in church, working two jobs, by the way. So now I'm not even in ministry full time. I'm working two jobs, right? Doing ministry full time. I'm also in school full time, right? And doing ministry. So I'm on worship team, playing music. I'm preaching at the church. I'm running a student ministry. I'm over 11 churches district wide. So all of these things. And so we're running. And it got to the point where I felt like, hey, it started to affect our relationship. It began to affect my marriage. It began to affect my relationship with my kids that were young. And so for us, we had to draw a hard line and make a tough decision about walking away from all of it. And you talk about resets starting all over. And so again, once I was finished with school, I think a couple months later, we actually made a decision to relocate. So that's how we ended up in Georgia. Had a few options on the table, but felt like this was where God wanted us to be. And so again, for us, that was the huge reset for us to come here in a state that we knew. We didn't know anybody. We had one friend of mine was here, and he was probably about an hour away from us at the time. We lived in Marietta. He's in Austell. But we didn't see much of him. And so again, we were away from them. So it was literally just us. We had nobody to call, to watch no kids. And so our lives literally for an entire summer until we both found jobs was centered around just our marriage and pouring into each other and pouring into our kids. And so we spent countless hours at the library with our kids. We had no internet, which means
you had to utilize the library.
Pretty much. We literally started from scratch. We gave away all our furniture. We gave
away air mattresses everything. For a year. We
air mattresses, sleeping in our place. We were watching, renting DVDs and VHS cassettes from the library, coming home to watch. We were doing movie time together. We were constantly at the park because it was right across the street from the park, from the library, rather. So we were over there playing with the kids all the time. We were in the library countless hours, kids reading books. We were reading, researching, trying to find jobs at the time. Again, because again, we started over. We had walked away from our careers,
from everything,
all of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Absolutely.
actually the example I had as well, us moving. I mean, that was a big transition for us,
Yeah.
you know, to
Yeah.
leave our family in New York, kind of like Abraham, go out into a country,
Yeah.
not show you. Well, we knew where we were going, but it was a place we didn't know anyone, like
Yeah.
you said.
And even the fact that, listen, when we left, I came here to work as a teacher.
Teacher.
So I came here with an intention, with the whole thing lined up to be part of this teaching program. And it just bloop, fell right through.
Yeah.
Did not work out. And so now it's, hey, start over from scratch, right? Had a master's degree, literally left New York with a master's degree and could not get a job because I was told I was overqualified
Overqualified, yeah.
over and over again. And so I literally, again, had to start from scratch. I started working for a company called Advance Auto Parts. They're still around to this day. And I was literally just driving. That's all I was doing for them, delivering their parts. And I decided, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm gonna just jump headfirst in it and just connect. And so I learned everything I could, worked my behind off, ton of support from her. And so not before long, I ended up being promoted in the store and becoming one of the store supervisors. But again, there was that time. And so we, just as we started to get comfortable and get ourselves situated, then the invitation again, we had to relocate from Georgia, move to North Carolina again to help assist with a church plant. And that meant us starting our lives again all over. This
All over
time,
again.
all over again in another state where we didn't know anyone at all.
Yeah, I did want to add that part of the us moving here was a good reset for us because we got to focus on our family. We got to really spend time and pray together as a family, build ourselves spiritually, because we were burnt. I know for myself, I was burnt
We
out,
were both burnt.
you know, spiritually exhausted, and that took a while to really recover from, you know. And but looking back, I see, man, God was really just rebuilding us, resetting us for his purpose, for what we were supposed to be doing, which it seemed to be church planting, because even from then he connected us with a church plant just up the street from us through a word from someone, from our sister who was living in New York. She called and said, oh, there's a church up the street that God wants y'all to go to. Lo and behold, it was a church plant. We got our first experience there, right there, 2013, 2014 to 2015. And that was our first experience. And then we didn't know at the time that God was setting us up for that kind of ministry. And look at where we are now.
So it's been a
Knowing
few years.
then that you had to go through those different resets and like completely trust God blindly, for anyone who's there right now, that maybe it's very scary to jump off and be like, okay, God, I trust you. What advice or insight would you give them, knowing your experience and where you're at on the other side? Well, again, for me, what's helped me is really seeking God, you know, really going into prayer and supplication, because I know that He answers all prayers, whether it's something we want, whether it's an answer we want or not, He answers our prayer. So for me, that's my first resort, you know, praying and journaling, you know, journaling so that I can really get it on paper what God is telling me, you know. And the scripture, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And that has been a scripture, a theme scripture of my life. You know, I have seen where God has led me all my life, even when I didn't think he was, because I put my trust in him. And I think I know that those who put their trust in him, he will. His word says it, so I know he will. And so that for me is something I would recommend you doing. Just trust God, because he will direct you. He will tell you where to go. He will give you clarity for your life.
I think I agree 100%. It's just a leap of faith. And doing so with as much wisdom, right? As much information as you can gather and muster, whatever it is
Research,
that God's calling you to, then do your homework as well. If it's to relocation, then do your homework, right? It doesn't mean, hey, you just drop everything and left.
You have to be wise,
You do things with wisdom as much as you can. And God is going to direct all of it. Again, just brace yourself for the ride and be open. Right, we just came out the series of being open-handed and just again legitimately just opening ourselves up to whatever it is that he allows in and whatever he allows out. of your life. That includes people, that includes jobs, that includes resources. And it can be scary. I'm not going to say it's not, right? Because it's a leap of faith. That's what faith is. You're stepping out on something that's not visible to the natural eye. It's not tangible at times. It's a leap of faith. And so there's no other way to take it other than, again, hey, I'm trusting God, right? Hey, he's my father. He knows what's best. And if my life is in his hands, then I'm trusting him more than I'm trusting situations and different things. So you used one of my light verses, Proverbs 3:5 and 6 that you quoted, is
five and
it? And
six, yeah.
Matthew 6:33 is the other one. Like, seek first the kingdom
Kingdom of
of God,
God and
his righteousness, right?
all these things.
And live righteously, and he will give everything you need, is what one translation says, right? Another King James, he'll direct your path. So,
Live a life of surrender.
and it's not easy. Nobody says that it's easy. See, discipleship, walking with Jesus, it's not easy. And don't, if it's easy, then you're not doing it right.
I know we have like a minute left, but listen, if we did not surrender our marriage to God, our children to God, we wouldn't be where we are
We would have no
right now.
match.
So that's it.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate you both so much. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us today and share your wisdom and experience. I know it's going to be helpful to someone else. And so again, I thank you so much for all of you who are tuning in today. Look at the resources down below. I've listed all the scriptures that we talked about today, as well as a few more resources to help you, journal prompts, daily devotions, and different things to get you started to help you on your journey as well. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having
Thank you for
us.
having us. We love you.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Thank you for spending this time with me on the journey of you. If today's reflection resonated, you're welcome to continue the conversation with me on Substack, where I share written reflections and podcast updates. You can find me at toniadbennis.substack.com. Thank you for being here.